Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, July the 8th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And we're going to start with weather news because an amber heat health alert has come into force across Kent today. And a farmer says the warm weather could be disastrous for this year's harvest. We're actually into our third heat wave of the summer and temperatures are again going to hit the 30s. There's hardly been any rain either. There's not much on the forecast to look forward to. Well, Joss Jones runs a farm near Meppen and he says everyone is having to adapt to hotter conditions. Joss has been speaking to Lucy.
Yields of all sorts are looking like they're going to be down. Thankfully, I'm not struggling too much for grass because that bit of rain we did have really, really helped things. One of the things I had was our hay all sort of or our silage all sort of, the grass all bolted seed, so I had to crack on with that quick. Our sort of stressful bit at the moment is hoping that our wheat can hold on a bit longer to get some quality into it rather than it just dying off. I want it to ripen rather than die. Does that make sense? And now we're looking at, I know there's a neighbouring farm that's looking at combining at night instead because they're a bit worried about the cereals being so dry that it could be a bit of a tinderbox and could go up, even if a stone went on a combined knife or something like that.
That's really interesting, having to kind of adapt to that weather. So at night then, how does that kind of reduce the risk because there's no sunlight?
Yeah, so it reduces the risk. Obviously, there's a visible addition that you can see anything that sparks quickly, but also where the dew comes down, it sort of dampens it up a little bit. As a general rule, things will go through the combine a bit better as well. If it's too dry, it'll just shatter in the combine rather than you won't be able to harvest very well. Just tricks of the trade, really.
Yeah, kind of doing anything you can, I suppose. And how have you kind of had to adapt to it? I know you said we had a bit of rain a couple of weeks ago now, but it's looking pretty dry this week, the forecast.
Yeah, so originally it said it was going to rain next week and I was glad of that. But now it looks like it's going to go dry and stay dry. So I've already bought in a bit of extra feed. I'm going to hold on to some of the feed that I have so that we can feed livestock if the grass goes quicker, like it did a couple of years ago. I've got a bit more in the way of hay and silage so that I can feed out if I have to. We're starting to follow those in middle of France, northern France, and we're having to get prepared for feeding in the summer as well as the winter. So when it goes dry, obviously the grass goes dormant and doesn't grow. So I've got to feed them something. And also we're a bit more conscious about shade being in fields, like good areas of shade being in fields for the cattle and the sheep. It seems to make a difference for them. We all want happy livestock. Happy livestock is productive livestock.
Do you feel, as someone who is, you know, out on the land and outdoors a lot, do you feel these kind of temperature increases we've had in the summers for the last few years at least are a worry? And you know, going forward, does it concern you that this is becoming a pattern?
Of course it concerns me. It concerns everyone. You know, we're having to use aircon a lot more. I know that. The way I see it is we have to adapt to survive. So we're going to have to look at changing what we do. The big farm next to me is now a big vineyard. You know, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that. We are on chalky downland here, which is surprisingly moisture retentive. But of course, we have to be very, very conscious that goes very, very dry quickly. It's a blessing and a curse having the chalk, but we have to be conscious of that. So, yeah, we will look into growing more drought resistant varieties of wheat. We were looking at adding more lucerne into our grasses so that if it does go dry, we've still got a forage for the livestock. Yeah, adapt. We have to adapt to survive. So and that's what we're going to have to do.
I guess for some farmers, I've heard a lot of fruit farmers are struggling with things like strawberries. It's just too hot for them. But you don't grow strawberries and that kind of fruit, do you?
No, we don't grow top fruit here. We are going to have to look at doing something else because cereal prices are incredibly low. This year, we'll probably make a loss on the cereals. So we are going to have to look at doing something else, probably like top fruit. But again, the problem is we're looking at going to other things, but the drought that we are consistently getting this time of year is going to have to be a factor, and especially the heat as well. I imagine that, you know, I'm not exactly an expert in strawberries, but I imagine that it's the heat as much as anything that's really going to be affecting them. Like I said earlier, our grass is all bolted to seed, and we had to harvest them pretty quickly. We have to adapt. We have to keep an eye on things a lot more. One of the things, like I say, we have to adapt to survive. The sort of scary thing is that we're having to adapt so quickly. Farming hasn't changed for, well, millennia, essentially. And now we're going to have to seriously look at what we're doing in a very short window of time.
I chatted about fruit there, and more than 1,000 people are actually expected at an event in Kent today highlighting the pressures on fruit farmers. The weather is having a real impact on crops right now due to intense heat and a lack of rainfall. Experts are going to be in Westmorling showing off the very latest tech.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's been found guilty of carrying out a sex attack during an armed raid at a house in Gravesend. Three men wearing masks and carrying machetes forced their way into the family home last August, stealing £80,000 worth of designer clothes, watches and cryptocurrency. 24-year-old Joshua Abbey from Daniel Gardens in Southwark has been remanded in custody until he's sentenced. A highways worker from Kent has died in a crash in Sussex. The 65-year-old was involved in a collision with a van on the M23 at Crawley in the early hours of this morning. A 38-year-old man from Croydon has been arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving and drink driving. A Kent police officer has been cleared of raping a colleague. Jurors at Maidstone Crown Court deliberated for almost 10 hours before finding Daniel Tondor not guilty of the offence. The 31-year-old from Gillingham, who was based in Norfleet, had joined the force as a community support officer in 2017. Before becoming a constable 2 years later. Three people convicted of running brothels in Kent have been ordered to pay back more than £600,000. They made the cash while involved in illegal sites across the UK, including in Canterbury, Chatham, Dartford, Gillingham, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells. Last year, they were jailed after a court heard women had been brought to the country and forced into sex work. Now, next on today's episode, and the Reform UK leader of Kent County Council says she supports Nigel Farage's decision to trigger a by-election in Clacton. He's standing down and will run to regain his seat following scrutiny over undeclared donations. He denies any wrongdoing and was pitching the vote as a people versus the establishment contest. That's been somewhat undermined, though, as all the other major parties say they won't stand and have described it as a stunt. Well, Linda and Kim Caron spoke to Megan from our colleagues at KMTV yesterday before that was confirmed, but she admitted Nigel Farage's decision took her by surprise.
I think that's a wonderful thing about being a reformer. Every day is a school day, and every day there's a possibility for a different way of doing democracy. And I think that's what we've seen today. So no, I didn't have any idea what Nigel was going to announce at 2 p.m. this afternoon, but as soon as he said it, I could see exactly why he'd chosen to do it the way he's done it.
It does follow a lot of criticism and controversy around the leader of the party. Obviously, there's been a lot of controversy around the £5 million gift. And again, perhaps getting benefits from potentially a fraudster. Do you have any comment on that at all?
Well, I'm just going to repeat what Nigel said in his announcement. He's done nothing wrong. He's broken no laws. He's used no public money. So really, I think what we're seeing here is a witch hunt by an establishment that is absolutely terrified of the rise of reform. And it can see the direction of travel. Reform UK has topped. It's well over 200 polls in a row now. Whenever a general election comes, we're ready for it. We're going to stand candidates all over the country. And there's a very good chance we'll do very well. And I think the establishment has had its own way for so many years. No wonder they're terrified, because they're going to be wiped out. And it's a battle for survival now. And I'm afraid this is just the latest chapter in a very long catalogue of dirty tricks against Nigel Farage and against reform.
A lot of politicians are calling for a boycott of this by-election. Restore won't be standing. Ed Davies calling for a boycott. What do you make of that?
Well, that's entirely up to them. We don't tell them what to do. We've got no jurisdiction over their decision-making process. But, you know, maybe they're afraid. Maybe they don't want to put a candidate up and try and fight Nigel Farage, who, let's face it, is one of the most consummate, most experienced, most instinctive politicians of his generation. If I was them, I wouldn't want to stand against Nigel Farage either. So you have to ask them about their rationale behind that decision.
And a new poll shows 10 Labour MPs in Kent would be likely to lose their seats if a general election is held. Ashford, Chatham, Dover and Gravesham are among the areas that could go to Reform UK. Nigel Farage's party is on course to win 12 seats in total based on research by Electoral Calculus.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent police officer who touched a colleague and made lewd remarks to fellow officers has avoided being sacked. PC Raphael Edwards worked in North Kent and has been given a 2-year final written warning following a misconduct hearing. It found he'd behaved in a sexualised way towards other staff during his first months with the force. A Sevenoaks man who admitted being over the drug drive limit has turned up for his sentencing hearing on an electric scooter he was banned from riding. Camille Curico had been given an interim disqualification in May after pleading guilty to also driving without a licence or insurance and possessing cannabis. The 33-year-old from Grange Road promised he wouldn't ride the scooter home. He's been ordered to do unpaid work and can't get behind the wheel for 30 months. A care home in Deal has been criticised by inspectors after a resident was left struggling to stay balanced during a fire drill after having to relocate to an area without seating. Milestone House on London Road remains in special measures following a visit by the Care Quality Commission. They've also raised concerns about staff working hours, management and safeguarding. Now, as we're being told to try and ease pressure on the NHS during all of this hot weather, a Kent grandmother's told us she was refused help from her local doctor and pharmacy and urged to call 999. Pauline Shillitoe from Lydd injured herself while cutting fruit at her home and started bleeding quite badly as she takes blood-thinning medication. She insists all she needed was a plaster, but no one would assist. A pharmacist has said their staff aren't trained to handle such injuries. The GP surgery said they couldn't comment on individual patients. Next today, and the boss of a pub near Faversham fears her family could end up losing their home if the road outside is closed for major waterworks. South East Water want to shut Headhill Road in Graveney for up to 5 months to replace 700 metres of water main. Katrina Gota runs the Four Horseshoes there, and she's been speaking to our reporter, Max Chesson.
We're absolutely gutted that they're shutting the road because it is going to shut the pub down. Obviously, we're a family. There's obviously me and my husband, my four children. You know, one of them, well, I've got two at primary school, one going up to secondary school this year. And if we lose this pub, we are potentially going to be homeless. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not just a business for us. It's a family home. And we, you know, we've tried so hard to build it up to where it needs to be. And South East Water are just like, well, no, we need to do the work and that's it.
So timing's the big issue, obviously. Yes. Talk me through the closure and talk about, as you were talking about earlier, the wider issues it will cause the village as well as the pub.
Yeah, so they're planning on shutting the road on the 27th of August to 21st of January, which obviously for us, the village and the other businesses is going to have a massive effect on our Christmas trade. The alpaca farm, they're busy in August and September, so it's going to have a big effect on them as well. Hildebrand's, again, they're going to lose money because they've got to put extra petrol in and extra time to go round the diversion. And it's just going to have, you know, the residents with the carers, it's having an effect on them because the carers aren't getting paid for the extra mileage. They're not being given extra time to do the miles that they have, the extra miles they have to do. And yeah, it's just a pain at Christmas time, really.
You had to spend a lot of money, of your own money, trying to pump it up for the 10 yes. months it was shut before.
Yeah.
How sustainable is that to do it for 5 months?
So obviously we used all the savings we had. We used when they shut the road, SGN shut the road last year. And again, we haven't got it this time. We can't put more, you know, we haven't got the money to put into it this time. You know, our bills alone are at £4,000 a month. We haven't got that for 6 months. We could probably get away with doing a month at tops, but we just haven't got that sort of money. You know, we've put all the money that we've, all the profit we've earned since the road reopened last time back into the property. We're trying to bring the property back to what it should be. make it look better. And we, you know, we've had a lot of support, but it still all costs money.
I think we should also be clear that this isn't a traditional struggling village pub. You're on the way up,
as yes, you said earlier, yes,
restaurant guide. So really, it's one of those, it's not as if you were already on your way out, are you?
No,
this
no.
is very much sustainable if it, oh, this closure doesn't happen.
100%. I mean, on Tuesday, I think it was, we received an email saying we'd received an award from Restaurant Guru. So they, you know, we're added to their site now that's got over 30 million followers, when we'll be a destination now. And again, you know, we are trying to build that up. Obviously, we had a look, and the only other place in the local area that's got it is the Sportsman, which we all know how good the Sportsman is. Yeah. So, you know, so for us, that was a big achievement in the year that we've been here. And, you know, we don't want the road to shut, because it would be a shame, because we have got the client, we have got the customer base, and we are working on it, and we're trying to make it a successful business.
How much trade would you say comes through the road there, the single road that sort of is Graveney?
Yeah, so it will probably be about 90 to 95% of our trade comes from Faversham and the Thanet Way. So, you know, again, if they have to go all the way around, we will lose trade. You know, SGM work was a prime example. We lost a lot of trade through that, and we can't do that again this year.
Now, South East Water project manager Arif Khan has said to us in a statement, "We know it's inconvenient. We'll do our absolute best to keep it to a minimum. We expect the project to take approximately 5 months in total, although our teams will work extended hours during weekdays and some Saturday mornings to try and reduce that. Traffic marshals will also be in place to manage traffic flow during the works. We'll work with businesses and the local community to manage the impact of the works, and we're holding meetings with key local stakeholders and a public drop-in event over the coming weeks."
Kent Online reports.
A person's been treated for the effects of breathing in smoke following a blaze at a flat in Folkestone. Six fire engines, police and paramedics were called to Dover Road near the junction with Grove Road yesterday afternoon. Flames and smoke were seen coming from the top floor of a building. It's unclear yet how it started. This is one of our most read stories on the site today. A tourist attraction in Kent that allows you to get up close to alpacas is closing after 17 years. Alpaca Annie was set up at Hagland's Farm on Romney Marsh in 2009. The owners say they've made the difficult decision to shut because of changing economic and industry conditions, along with their upcoming retirement. A cafe in Maidstone has applied to be able to stay open later at night. Bosses at Good Vibes on Mill Street have asked for permission to serve customers until 1 a.m. They'd initially hoped to be open until 4 in the morning, but amended the licence application following concerns from residents. A decision will be made at a meeting tomorrow. A car dealership in Dover that served customers for more than 60 years is set to go under the hammer at auction. Honest Motors on Crabble Hill has been given a Guy price at £580,000 and may be suitable for redevelopment, according to auctioneers. Bosses say the business could continue if it's bought by another dealer, and they will carry on as normal if it fails to sell. And finally, a former Kent MP says a new facility in Maidstone will help people who use prosthetics turn their lives around. The centre's been specially designed to support more than 1,000 patients across the county who've lost a limb and get them on the road to recovery. Andrew Nicol is from Steeper, which manufactures prosthetics. He's been telling us how the process works.
After amputation, they'll go through some therapies, but once they're ready for rehabilitation, they'll come here and they'll take some early bits of physiotherapy with our on-site team here. If it's upper limb, they'll probably do more work with an occupational therapist. And then when they're ready for more basic limbs, we'll start to do casting, or we can do scanning within this room, where we can manufacture a limb and get them mobile again.
Craig McKinley was one of the guests of honour at the ribbon cutting ceremony. He lost both hands and feet to sepsis while serving as MP for South Thanet. He now sits in the House of Lords and says facilities like this are vital.
I mean, if you lose one limb, fine, two limbs. I mean, I laugh at people. I say, oh, you've got a flesh wound, haven't you? You've lost one limb. But obviously, the more limbs you lose, the more complicated life is. And places like this can start people again on their road to recovery and make them feel like they're valued by the health system, as they most certainly should be. Because it's not just getting used to life again, it's helping families and getting back to work. And to me, that is the best salvation for anybody who loses a limb and could find themselves quite easily in a bit of a mental health hole.
The new clinic is on Lower Boxley Road and will deliver NHS care in a modern, accessible environment.
Kent Online Sports.
A Kent woman who's competing at the Commonwealth Games is hoping it's a chance to redefine the sport of bowls. Sean Honour from Canterbury says there are lots of misconceptions and it actually takes a lot of skill. She'll be playing for Team England at the Games in Glasgow, which start later this month. And plans have been put in to refurbish a golf course near Sittingbourne. Bosses at the site in Tong want to raise the ground level of the six-hole course. If approved, it would lead to up to 50 lorries a day passing through the village, which has led to concerns from some residents. A planning application sets out plans to minimise disruption by reducing non-essential deliveries during peak times. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.